The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From Studio Number 7 on the Flypod New Media Network, you're listening to our show, Politically Correct, and I'm your host, Gary Puckett. Thank you for listening in today. Our shows come to you exclusively through the program feeds of theflypod.com, New Media Network. Our nationwide network operates with 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, and 17 different media domain platforms. We produce and syndicate national, regional, and localized on-demand media programming on a daily basis for communities throughout the country. My guest on today's show is Kevin Turner. He is running for Dearborn County Council in District 3. As our regular repeat listeners already know, here on theflypod.com, we have an open-door policy for political candidates during the campaign season. If a candidate running for any office, regardless of their party affiliation, would like to come on our show, they simply need to contact us by email directly in Studio Number 7, shout@theflypod.com. I believe we can all agree that, as Americans, it holds true that for any community, there is nothing healthier than a well-informed electorate of voters. And today, we're pleased to be bringing this informational program to the citizens and voters of Dearborn County, Indiana. Kevin, welcome to Politically Correct. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure too, Gary. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Well, let me begin right out of the gate here by asking you, have you ever held a political office before?
No, I have not held an elected position before. I am appointed to the local emergency planning board at Dearborn County, which handles emergency disasters and the preparation thereof.
Well, why are you running for county council?
To paraphrase President Roosevelt, I wish to preach not the doctrine of an ignoble ease, but the doctrine of a strenuous life, of toil and effort, labor and strife, and that the person who practices that in their life is the one who will ultimately win the game. To me, that means that a person that has the ability and is able to serve in whatever capacity needs to step up to the plate and do so. With my varied experience through law enforcement, fire, EMS, serving on council within my church, I believe I am the man that can help guide Dearborn County throughout the 21st century.
Well, there are some unique challenges that county council faces, even now versus 5, 8, 10 years ago. And let me get at one of these and ask you what your thoughts are. You know, local casino-related revenues have declined. So what type of ideas or plan do you have in mind to help fill this drop in local revenue for the county treasury?
Well, first off, the capital improvements in the last 5 years or so, we've undertaken two grand capital improvements within the county. These capital improvements were approved by the council, did not go to bond, did not go to a voter referendum, and they kept the money just short enough to have to do that. That is not the correct way of doing things. Any further large capital improvements need to go to either a voter referendum or to a bond measure. At this point, we need to stop with the capital improvements, unless approved by the voter referendum or bond measure, and go to replenishing our stocks in the rainy day fund. Furthermore, economic development is a key to getting the tax revenue back in the county. Indiana overall has one of the best tax rates for businesses and homeowners. Our economic development through Dearborn County Economic Redevelopment Commission, all the cities have economic redevelopment commissions, have been working tirelessly to try to attract businesses into Dearborn County. One of the things I hear that stop businesses from coming into Dearborn County is not so much the tax rate or the lack of land or the lack of utilities or TIF districts that have poured in infrastructure. It's the lack of skilled workers into the county. Our focus should not just be to attract the businesses, because we need to attract the skilled workers. The county itself has great school systems, which are at this point suffering from a lack of attendance and numbers of students because we don't have the families moving into the county to supplement that and get the monies from the state. But we need to attract those skilled workers, promote Dearborn County as what it is. It is a safe community to play in, to live in, and to be part of the greater Dearborn County family and raise your children, and the businesses will come. They will, then you will have people being able to work at jobs closer to home. Another thing that is that Dearborn County, even if you're not having your job within the county, it is a central point to Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, minutes drive. Bring the people, the businesses will see, we have a skilled labor force ready to go, and they will also come.
Well, what I hear you saying is that the business expansion, commercial development, seems to be putting on it a requirement that the workforce actually reside within the county. But as you also pointed out, the proximity to other metropolitan areas is realistically close. So what's wrong with business developing for the benefit of the favorable tax setting and having the workers not live in Dearborn County? Is that a big deal? I mean, you could get skilled workers from, within 25 miles of Dearborn County, right?
Well, of course you can. And then they would be paying the Dearborn County income tax on their paychecks, which would also help bolster the county. But the businesses are not coming in here, which, and you get a larger chunk of tax base from the businesses located in the county. They count houses and they count people with college degrees, people with the certain set of skills. And it's one of those chicken versus the egg type conundrums where, okay, we'd like to come here, but we can't find enough workers within 25 miles. So we're not going to locate here. But the people won't locate here unless there's a business to work. We need to work in tandem to get this to happen almost simultaneously.
So you think that this decline in casino-related revenues can be matched or made up in part or in total by commercial and economic development in the form of new businesses?
That is correct, yes. And to add to that, also limiting county spending on capital projects. We've done what we can at this point. The major capital improvements have got to be held in check unless they're a complete necessity, and to refill that rainy day fund so that if the revenues decline to the point of we are not going to be able to operate, we have that rainy day fund to fall back on to keep things going for another 5 or 10 years and wait for things to change.
Let me ask you something else. I'm sure you follow what goes on in the deliberations and decisions of Dearborn County Council, and you kind of pointed it out with the capital projects. But even beyond capital projects, are there any specific appropriations that have been made by County Council in the current budget or that are being considered that you personally just disagree with or think the wrong route is being pursued?
Well, one of the things that they discussed, and they did end up fixing this to a degree, the public safety, being a firefighter, being a police officer, serving on the local emergency planning committee, public safety is paramount. So one of the things they hedged on early on this year was refunding of the tornado sirens. They did replace the tornado siren out here in Dillsboro, which was a good thing. However, we have 4 or 5 tornado sirens that are getting ready to either be outdated or need to have extreme repairs or replacement. And according to the emergency management agency, the budget's being cut there. He's not going to have the money to take care of such things. What he's working towards right now is getting the county storm ready. part of that is having multiple points of contact to make the county completely notified in the event of a weather emergency, a natural disaster. This week, we're notified that there was a small slippage in the dam there at Hidden Valley. Of course, it's not a big deal at this time, but we need to have those warning systems in place for something like in that event to happen. The council seems to be giving money more towards the area around the courthouse and our area around the jail and to areas that don't benefit. They benefit a certain segment of the population and a certain segment of the government. We need to spread that out and keep our eyes focused on public safety, fire, EMS, and roads. That's your basic thing, what your county does.
Let me shift gears on you a little bit. When it comes to members of the county council, they receive a lot of funding requests. So what specific criteria do you think should be used generally to evaluate whether or not county council funds a particular budget request?
First off, the number of citizens is going to benefit. If you're looking at a request that is going to only fund a small segment, a special interest group, something that's not going to benefit a larger amount of the county, that's a first criteria. Secondly, how long is that project going to sustain? Is this a 1 year? Is this something that's going to fix something to where I'm not going to have to worry about it 50 years down the road and my children are not going to have to worry about it? And then thirdly, is there an immediate need for that request? Is there some sort of emergency that we have to have that request? And the emergency has to be in the eyes of not only what that agency or what that individual sees as an emergency, but what is a true emergency? And that's where you have to take a step back and think about the history of what's gone on in the county, whether this is a true emergency or whether this is a knee-jerk reaction to a problem that's come up. This county has been through natural disasters, hard times with budgets, floods. Take a step back, look at the big picture. Is this going to long-term benefit? Is it going to benefit a lot of people? And is this a true emergency?
Kevin, when individual voters cast their vote for county council in District 3, why should they vote for you? What reasons would you give?
I have been a person that has felt the need to serve the citizens of Dearborn County in whatever fashion I can for nearly my entire life. My father, Randy Turner, works for the City of Aurora as a utility superintendent, and I watched him growing up, going out and volunteering to do things without pay, and going out middle of the night to council meetings to just help people. That's the type of person I am. For an example, 1997, we had our great flood. I was in college at the time. I spent my spring break not in the sunny beaches of Florida. I came back to my town to help clean up the flood. That is the type of person I am. So qualifications-wise, I have served or worked with just about every person in every level of government in the county and the cities and towns. I've served as a dispatcher. I've served as a jail officer. I've served as a police officer. I've served with the fire department. I serve with my church. I've been a organizer of festivals within Dillsboro. I've been a participant in the organization of festivals in Dillsboro. The list goes on and on of the things that I've tried to do to help out. And I have a collective knowledge of what goes on in the county and a historical knowledge of what should happen. So I think that's why it makes me the best candidate. I am not a person who is pigeonholed by a certain group, by a certain faction. I have met and understand a lot of what's going on throughout the county on many different levels.
When you say pigeonholed by a particular group, are you referring to a political group or a group with a certain agenda? I mean, is that in general, is that what you're referring to?
I would say more in general. Some people do have a certain agenda when they go into office and get put up to run for office because they think, well, they're going to benefit my line of business, my line of thinking. I'm not that type of person. And to be fair, I don't think my opponent is either. But however, I certainly would not have tried to run had not people of multiple political beliefs asked me to run. I work to represent all.
Well, Kevin, I'm not so sure if it directly involves county council, but you see a lot of what's going on in the county that ultimately can lead to funding requests. But I'm thinking more from a law enforcement point of view. I was wondering if you could share any information that you see rotating, transitioning, or expanding, getting worse or better on this whole drug crisis.
Yes, and it does affect county council because a lot of funding requests do come to county council for the different programs through the courts. However, at this time, through my law enforcement experience, and to be fair, in the 20-some years of law enforcement, I've seen different realms of drugs going through different trends, from the methadone crisis to the crack cocaine crisis to the prescription pills crisis, and then to the heroin epidemic. The heroin epidemic is starting to tame down. There are still plenty of people on it. However, what I have found and what I'm experiencing is the heroin addicts know this heroin with the fentanyl and carfentanil is killing them, and our next drug crisis, which is already at our doorsteps, is the methamphetamine crisis. Just as dangerous as the opioid crisis, but with a different set of dangers that come with it. People using methamphetamines tend to be more violent. The labs that create them tend to be or are much more dangerous, not just to the police officers, but to the general public with the fumes. Releases a hydrochloride gas into the air during one of the methods that they use to make this stuff, which is explosive. So firefighters, police officers are all having to deal with this, and it is already here on our doorstep in Dearborn County. We have avoided the methamphetamine crisis for years while it's affected the rest of the state. Opioid users are now switching to methamphetamines, and this is the next thing that we're going to have to watch out for. As county council, we have to be aware of the drug trends and where the funding needs to go to help not just what the popular crisis is. Everybody knows heroin is out there and people are dying, but methamphetamines is here now. Start watching for that to be on the rise and support your local law enforcement to combat that by reporting possible labs and sellers of that drug.
Well, Kevin, here on the Fly Pod, during election cycles, we attempt to bring voters and the community at large information on candidates. So if you win in the primary cycle, would you be willing to come back on the show at a future date during the regular election?
Well, of course, Gary, you're always wonderful to talk to.
Let's just make that a promise to our listeners. And Kevin, I'd like to thank you for joining me on the show today. This has been a good conversation, and I do believe it provides voters with information and insights into you as a candidate. And again, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us here on Politically Correct.
Well, thank you, Gary, for giving me this opportunity.
Well, that's my show for today. You've been listening to Politically Correct in Dearborn County, Indiana. Again, I'm your host, Gary Puckett, coming to you free and clear through the program feeds of the Flypod.com New Media Network. Should you have any ideas, comments, questions, suggestions, or even complaints about today's show, email us directly in studio number 7. And don't forget, tell your friends, family, and coworkers about the Flypod.com, because when it comes to the media, we are what's next. And feel free to post the link for this show on your social media pages. So until next time, thank you for joining us and listening in today here on Politically Correct.